Parshas Kisisa, Perik Lamedalit Pasuk Ches. Moshe Rabbeinu had just heard the Eibishter proclaim the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy, which brought forgiveness for the Jewish people for the sin of the Chet Egel. And the Pasuk says, Vayimahar Moshe, and Moshe hurried, Vayikait Arza, and he bowed his head towards the ground, Vayishtachu, and he prostrated himself. Rashi quotes the two words from this pasuk, Vayimahar Moshe, and Moshe hurried. And on those two words, Rashi explains, Kishera Moshe Shechina Iveres, when Moshe saw the Shechina passing by, Vishama Kol HaKriya, and then he heard the sound of the announcement of the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, Miyad Vayishtachu, immediately he prostrated himself. So we could think that Rashi is coming to answer a question similar to the question of the Gemara. The Gemara asks the question, why did Moshe prostrate himself? And the answer is, because Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Shekhinah passing by and he heard the sound of the proclamation. But the truth is, according to the simple pshat, the simple understanding of the pasuk, we do not have a question why Moshe Rabbeinu prostrated himself, because previously we see that in situations where the Yidden heard good news, their immediate reaction was that they bowed their heads and they prostrated themselves. When they heard that the Eibishter was going to redeem them from Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, in Parshas Boy, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayikud Da'am, and the nation bowed, Vayishtachavu, and they prostrated themselves. So there's no question that when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the good news of the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, most certainly he would have bowed down and prostrated himself. So that's question number one. Question number two, how would Rashi learn a chiddush, something new, that the prostrating himself was not in order to thank Hashem, but it was because he saw the Shekhinah pass by and he heard the sound of the proclamation? Why does Rashi have to say a different explanation and not take it at face value that he bowed down for the good news? A third question we have, if in fact Rashi's coming to explain a reasoning why Moshe bowed, prostrated himself, then the quote from the pasuk should have been, Vayikait Arza, Vayishtachu, that he bowed towards the ground and he prostrated himself. But that's not the words that Rashi quotes as what he's coming to explain. The words of the pasuk that Rashi quotes are Vayimar Moshe, and Moshe hurried. Another question we have, Rashi emphasizes in his perish, Miyad Vayishtachu, that Moshe prostrated himself immediately. So this obviously tells us that Rashi is coming to explain Vayimahar Moshe, why Moshe hurried to prostrate himself. Not why he prostrated himself to begin with, but why he did it in a hurried fashion, why he did it immediately. But the truth is, we have to understand this a little bit more. Because the truth of the matter is, we know that a Yid does the service of Hashem bizrizus very quickly. And certainly Moshe Rabbeinu would do good things very quickly. And we even know about Avraham Avinu that he ran to prepare food for the guests. And he woke up early in the morning by the story of the Akedas Yitzchak. And certainly Moshe Rabbeinu, who was punished because he delayed doing the mitzvah of Mila on his sons, certainly Moshe would have taken the lesson and done any mitzvah or any good thing very, very quickly. So we don't have a question why Moshe hurried. Another question on this Rashi, the order, because first he heard the Eibishter talk, and afterwards the Shekhinah passed by. But here, Rashi says the reverse, that while Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Shekhinah pass by, and then he heard the sound of the proclamation. Why is it written in reverse? That we would have seemed would be how it actually occurred practically. A third point, how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Shekhinah? Just previously, we read about the discussion, how Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Eibishter that he would like to see the full Shekhinah. And the Eibishter said, no, that you will not be able to see my face. You will only be able to see the back of my face, the place of the knot of the tefillin. So how can we say over here that Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Shekhinah pass by? Another question. Why does Rashi add the word that Moshe heard Koil HaKriya, the sound of the proclamation, and not just the words, Moshe Rabbeinu heard the proclamation itself? Another point, point five, Rashi says, Miyad Vayishtachu. Now, when we read the Pasuk, before Moshe Rabbeinu was Mishtachave, before he prostrated himself, the Pasuk says, Vayikoit Artsa, he bowed his head towards the ground. Why does Rashi omit completely this point that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed to the ground? So the explanation of all this is as follows. Most certainly, we cannot say that Rashi's question is why Moshe hurried to prostrate himself, because Moshe certainly did all his good deeds, all his mitzvahs, bezrizus, very quickly. So that's not the difficulty of Rashi. Farkert, the opposite. Rashi's difficulty is, why does Chaira have to actually say explicitly, and Moshe hurried, something that would have been self-understood, that Moshe Rabbeinu hurried when he heard the good news to prostrate himself as a form of thanking Hashem. And therefore, Rashi says there must be a totally different circumstance over here, that Moshe is not hurrying to thank Hashem for the good news, but there's a different, something different is going on at this moment. And therefore, what does Rashi say? That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wait for the full Shekhinah to pass and didn't wait for the Eibishter to complete, to announce all the Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim. Here Rashi says that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu began to notice that the Shekhinah is beginning to pass, and as soon as he began to hear the sound, the voice, before the actual words, before the actual announcement, immediately he bowed down. Because in this situation, when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the king himself, Hashem, the Eibishter himself, immediately his reaction was to bow down and prostrate himself completely. Before he actually heard the actual announcement and before he actually saw. In other words, in this situation, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu began to see that the Eibishter was responding to his request, that he wants to see the Shekhinah, the moment that he realized that his request was being fulfilled and the Shekhinah was actually beginning to pass by, his reaction, his immediate reaction was to fall to the ground in full prostration. And this, the wording of Rashi, that it says when he saw the Shekhinah Iveris, Kishara'a Moshe Shekhinah Iveris, the Moshe glanced as the Shekhinah was passing, is very significant, that Moshe actually did not see Hashem's full face. Hashem had told Moshe Rabbeinu previously that that was not going to happen. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he happened to see at first glance that the Shekhinah was passing, not that he actually saw the Shekhinah, the full Shekhinah, face to face. And later on, as a separate part of the story, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the back of the Eibishter, like it says in the Pasuk, that he saw, that Rashi explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to see the back, where the knot of the tefillin is. So, of course, the Shekhinah is always at some level among the Jewish people. But in this situation, what Moshe Rabbeinu actually saw the Shekhinah in the real way. And therefore, we know, similar, when we see a king, when we know the king exists, that's one form of feeling towards a king, feeling nullification and bittul towards a king. But when we actually see a king in the full glory, the feeling of bittul, the feeling of nullification and humility is much more apparent and much more tremendous. So when Moshe Rabbeinu actually experienced that the Shekhinah is about to pass by, he was actually experiencing the real thing. His immediate reaction was complete bittul, complete nullification, complete falling to the ground. And that's why Rashi doesn't even mention the words of the Pasuk, Vayikaid, that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed his head. Because, let's explain the word, there's Keda, which is bowing the head towards the ground. And then there's Hishtachava'a, where the human being is completely spread out on the ground with his hands and feet completely on the ground. And if you think about it, when somebody bows towards the ground in complete prostration, that includes bowing the head down. There's no way to be completely on the ground without the first step of bowing the head. And in this situation, because Moshe Rabbeinu did it so quickly and so immediately, there was no two separate steps. Included in that complete prostration was the bowing to the ground, which just emphasizes Moshe Rabbeinu's complete bittul at the feeling of the Shekhinah passing by, that this happened so quickly that the bowing the head was included in the very quick and immediate full prostration to the ground. And the Chassidish, the Yena Shel Torah, the inner explanation or inner lesson we could learn from this is that the Pasuk uses the word, that Rashi, excuse me, uses the word Shekhinah, and not another name of the Eibishter. Like it explains in Tanya, the word Shekhinah means the aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that rests and becomes enclosed and revealed within the world. And in this situation, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to bow down in complete prostration immediately when he saw the Eibishter beginning to invest himself in a revealed way within the world. And that's why the word Rashi uses the word Shekhinah to teach us about the type of revelation that took place at that time.